Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, November 12th, 2025.
At this time, the November 12th, 2025 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press, the current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, may we all rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let Board Administrator please call the roll.
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Joey Nuzzelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coos.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Landgraf, Mike Wiesen, and Jessica Spilly.
Okay. We have before us the minutes of the October 27th meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Motion. Second.
Okay, there. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted this evening. We have two other items in here for adoption this evening. They are resolutions. They are P-29 of 22 North Martindale Avenue and P-30, 14 to 16 Weymouth Avenue and 510 Winchester Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to said resolutions? May I have a motion, please, and a second for adoption?
Take the motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The two resolutions are hereby adopted. At this time, there will be applications. The order of the applications will be Lafayette Avenue first, Harvard Avenue, and then Dorset Avenue. At this time, see, Mr. Swift, you're representing?
Yes, sir.
James and Paula Martin at 1 South Lafayette Avenue is the application this evening.
Thank you very much, Chairman, board members.
Jim, no preamble, you just go swear your people in, okay. And then we'll just go right over the case.
Okay. The folks that we have with us tonight are Mr. Halliday, he's the architect who prepared the plans, which are before the board. We also have Paula and Jim Martin, who are the property owners, who are here with us tonight. So I'd like to swear them in.
It's up to you. It's your choice.
Sure. We have Mr. Halliday sworn in first.
Yes, please.
Okay. Just Mr. Halliday, just your name and address for the record, please. Business address.
Sure. Chris Halliday at 728 West Avenue in Ocean City.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks. And I'll get Mr. McLaren to go back again. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Halliday, you're an architect?
Yes, I'm a registered architect.
In the state of New Jersey?
Yes, sir.
You've appeared before us before, so let us reflect that your credentials are accepted.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, can he be offered up and qualified as an expert before this board?
No, he's certified his credentials. I don't know that anybody's an expert.
Thank you. And the Martins are here today. Can we put them under oath and get the answer testified?
It's your option.
Sure. I don't know if they will, but just in case.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, just state your name and address for the record. I'll swear the two of you in together.
Paula Martin, 1 South Lafayette.
James Martin, 1 South Lafayette.
Thanks. And right, okay. If you could please each raise your right hand, can you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening, if any, will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mrs. Swift?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is James Swift. My office is at 1335 Clifton Road, Yorkfield, New Jersey. I represent the Martins, who were just before the board.
A little closer to the mic, please.
Yes, sir.
Turn the mic down so it goes off better.
Sure.
That's better.
The Martins own the property, 1 South Lafayette. In essence, they're seeking board approval to raise and renovate this property consistent with the architectural plans, which have been prepared by Mr. Halliday, which he will explain to you in a few moments. This is a relatively simple application, and I'm not saying that to denigrate the seriousness of the application. It's serious, but it's not very complicated. What we're trying to raise and renovate, in essence, what we're trying to do is take parking on the bottom, 2 floors above. We are entitled, let's say pursuant to law, to have 2.5. We're only asking for 2. So hopefully the board makes a finding that this is a relatively modest application. We could have asked for more, but we try to be conscientious of what the impact would be on the neighbors, while at the same time producing an aesthetically pleasing property, renovate it. It's somewhat dated, it's older. There hasn't been any significant renovations or improvements in this property for quite some time. The reason being is when the Martins bought this property, they bought it as a second home, short home. So it was a lot less formal. At this point, post-COVID, they transitioned down to Ventnor. This is their full-time residence. Consistent with their plans, they want to make it basically compatible so they can live there full-time. Right now, it's a little tight. The good part of this application is hopefully if the board finds that it's a worthy application and the board grants its approval, this will be a FEMA-compliant property, which it is not. Technically, there are no legal, there is a parking space, but it's technically not a legal parking space on this property right now, the way that's configured. If the board gives us approval, we will have 3 legal parking spaces on this property. There's 1 now, it's technically not quite legal, it's not quite conforming, but if the board approves it, again, it go from 0 legal parking spaces to 3 parking spaces. Architecturally, it's going to be a significant improvement. Many of the variances that we seek pursuant to Mr. McLaurin's recommendations or his evaluation is that we're not expanding in terms of the front yard or side yard setbacks. We're basically going up. We're not pushing them out further. The reason we have to make this application is because they are getting increased, but they're getting increased in a vertical level. They're not going to get any closer to the neighbors. The coverage of the property is actually going to be reduced. The one variance that we're seeking that will increase because just, and Mr. Halliday will explain this, is we need a slight increase in building coverage. We are hoping that the board finds that given we're not trying to push this thing to the max, we've been conscientious in terms of the impact on the neighbors. We've taken a lot of time and consideration in coming up with a property that is really going to improve this neighborhood. And I think it's consistent with some of the improvements that have been going on around the neighborhood. So at this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Halliday and have him explain some of the more technical components of what we're trying to do here.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Jim did a good job at going through the variances. I'll just tell a story of how we got here. The Martins came to us. They've been down here since COVID. On and off last year, they sold their primary residence and moved down full-time. And when doing so, they do work from home periodically. So they were looking to add a bedroom and convert the 2 bedrooms that are on the first floor into a primary bedroom suite. When looking at options and exploring renovating that second floor, it became apparent that they would have to raise the house because it would be a substantial improvement. So they are currently 3 feet below the required flood height. And rather than just raising it that 3 feet, we looked at how, rather than coming in front of the board for a parking variance, how can we accommodate parking, accommodate storage, provide an elevator and interior staircase to the first floor. So rather than just going up 3 feet, we're going up to allow for an 8-foot ground floor, which has a foyer and entry, some outdoor space for a grill on that ground floor towards the rear, as well as access to an interior stair, an interior elevator, and garage space. There's an existing, I call them the Model T garages, the original garage that was built on the property that we are removing because we are adding storage underneath the house. So that allowed us to accommodate parking the existing property is largely paved, so we are removing a good amount of hardscape, especially on the side yard setback, which is now just concrete. Let's see, the house now is a 70-year-old house. They spent a lot of time on that front porch. The front porch currently has an awning. The building coverage increase is due to us adding a roof, replacing that canvas awning with just a roof area. That front porch is an existing front porch that we are raising, and rather than keeping the canvas awning, we're proposing adding a roof structure just for durability and use. They like all of us that are fortunate to live down here, they spend a lot of time on the porch, and they're trying to avoid the sun, so they have the canvas awning. We're just saying we're going to make that a permanent structure. Making that a roofed area is why the building coverage increased. If it is uncovered, the building coverage would not change. Or if there was a canvas awning there, it would not change. We are reducing the lot coverage by 8%. And currently the first floor is at 11 feet. We are raising it up to 18 feet to allow for that understory garage. By right, this house, as Mr. Swift said, could be a very vertical house with 2.5 stories above parking. We thought this was a more appropriate design where it's not maxed out. We are about 4 feet below the required maximum height. It's not a huge house. They have 4 bedrooms. They're looking for 4 bedrooms. They work from home. Primary suite on the first floor with 3 bedrooms for their family on the second floor.
So Chris, the detached garage, obviously it's detached, but it's not attached. So if that was attached, it would count as building coverage. So you're actually decreasing building coverage by getting rid of that garage, even though it doesn't. You're swapping lot coverage for building coverage.
Correct. We're reducing the lot coverage, allowing for more greenery, more space, and we are removing. It allowed us to add a real parking space back there, and the functionality of that garage now goes under the house. So we're able to store the things that were in the garage under the house now. So we felt that was a good trade-off. And you're right. If it was attached, then the roofed structure over the deck. That is the increase in building coverage. We just felt like the canvas awnings, if you live with one, putting them on and taking them off every year, we felt like this was a better use for them long term, especially being down here.
A lot better, to be honest with you.
Thank
you. Makes the profile of the house look a lot better.
We try to make sure they look good so that we can put our sign out front. So that was one of the things that we were looking at overall. Rather than a vertical townhouse, we were trying to kind of be sensitive to the neighborhood. This is the footprint that's been there for 70 years. We're raising it up. We're trying to, as you can see with the roof lines, set back the new second story from the first floor with the roof line. So it's almost built in to like a third story, even though it is a second floor, trying not to, again, max out that footprint.
I have a question regarding the garage.
Yes.
Did that free up more light and air around the house, more free space in the neighborhood between properties?
Yes, it does. Yeah, we are, I'm going to pull the site plan here that you have in front of you.
Right.
So that garage currently is essentially on the property line. So those neighbors will now not have just a wall that they technically, I guess, can't maintain because it's not on their property. All that area will be removed. More light and air will be in the side yard setback and that kind of rear property as well. So they were also open with the reconfiguration of the garage. They had a side door into the first floor existing, which is why they had a walkway, essentially, in that back area. They no longer have that side door because they're not accessing the first floor. So that's why we are now removing the hardscape, adding landscaping to that side. So that'll all be green space on the side to allow for additional water filtration.
Is your plan being altered? Or is this your final plan?
This is the final plan.
Okay.
Yep. I'm sorry. That's the survey. and then this is the proposed.
Thank you.
Now, how much of the structure is new versus how much is being saved?
The existing first floor is entirely being saved, which is, it's essentially a ranch now with an office and bedroom on the second floor. In order to accommodate the additional second floor, we, when looking at it and studying it, even if we weren't raising, we were going to have to remove the roof. So we are keeping the first floor in place. The exterior walls are staying. We're converting two back bedrooms into one primary suite. The kitchen is staying in a similar location. The living room is staying in a similar location. And we are stacking the stair where it is now. So a lot of the structure is staying the same. The core components are all there. We are making room for an elevator inside the structure, not expanding.
Are you using a full-size residential elevator or the smaller size?
We're using a 5x5 residential elevator. So just I would call it a standard. It's not a mobility 1-2-3 elevator. I guess technically, if elevators don't count towards building coverage, we would get that 25 square foot credit, but I did count it because it was inside the envelope and roofed.
Okay. How many steps into, on a normal lift, how many steps from grade or rises from grade to the porch would there normally be?
15 steps.
15 steps. That's going to pack a lunch on the way up.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Could you pull up the other picture for the...
Now, I just want to be clear about the garage, but you're taking that out.
Correct, yes, the garage is being taken out.
So you will have...
We will have two parking spaces with curb cut on this side, mm-hmm. and then the garage door, that will be their car storage, EV vehicle charging area in the garage.
And those parking spaces are 19 feet each?
Yes.
Now I'm thinking in an effort to reduce your lot coverage, because you're not a lot over, but you are over, since you only need two parking places, on the one parking place, you could actually rip out some more concrete and you wouldn't have an issue with lot coverage.
We could. We're taking the lot coverage from non-conforming to conforming. So we're increasing the building coverage, but the lot coverage is now coming into conformity.
Well, what I saw, I thought you were non-conforming. You're looking for a variance.
For building coverage. For the building coverage for the roof. This roof is making the building coverage variance. Yeah, that's okay.
But your lot coverage is decreased.
Correct. It's 81% now. We're taking it down 3% below the maximum required.
And how much did your building coverage increase?
Yeah. But the building coverage, you still need to vary it to that. I misspoke.
Lorraine, a quick question, and maybe answer your question. Let's say hypothetically, we kept that little roof that's over the deck.
Let's go back to the question first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are increasing our building coverage by 5%.
5%.
We are reducing our lot coverage by 8%.
Okay. So we have a net gain of less coverage.
Correct.
You're just conforming okay. now where you weren't conforming before.
That's correct. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Lorraine, just to answer your question to me, let's say hypothetically, instead of having that like permanent roof over the deck, let's say we kept it a canvas, yep. we wouldn't even need that variance at all.
I understand that.
Like aesthetically, it's just, in other words, it's their full-time house as opposed to the shore house and the boogie boards and all the other stuff. This is permanent.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions, the board members?
I do have 8.5 by 11 printouts of the renderings, if the board secretary would like them, just for the record, easier than taking home boards.
Mr. Halliday, in keeping with the getting rid of the obsolescence of the 70-year structure and so on. Your mechanicals, your plumbing, heating, electrical, insulation systems and so on are all up to date and new?
They will be new, including flood venting on that ground floor and flood prevention.
Well, that's required by FEMA.
Correct.
And so on. And is there anything else that you're doing to the property that brings it up to code conformance that for new properties versus existing properties of today?
We're trying to just preserve it so that it lasts another 70 years. So we are looking at just high quality coastal materials like James Hardy on the outside, standing seam metal roofs, PVC, so that they don't wear. We will be, obviously right now, everything is on that first floor below flood. So all new mechanicals, laundry, bathrooms will now be above the flood ordinance. The foundation will be substantially improved with the new foundation and the raise, and the roof will be substantially improved, as well as it's a substantial improvement. So we are required to improve the insulation. We're planning on replacing the windows with higher quality windows. We will have to provide a res check showing that we are energy compliant. So anything that we would have to do for our new home, this home is going to require us to check those boxes.
Was the prior home built on piling?
I'm not sure. I'm planning on replacing that foundation.
This house is built on piling, correct?
Correct.
Are you using breakaway or self-supporting slabs for the garage and so on?
Yes, they would be structural slabs.
That's an upgrade.
Yes, over a sand crawl space up there now.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask Ms. Halliday to just
do whatever you want to do?
Thanks. Mr. Halliday, you're familiar with the zoning ordinance of Ventnor, is that true?
Yes.
You're also familiar with the Municipal Land Use Act of New Jersey, is that true?
Yes.
In coming up with this plan before the board, did you take the zoning ordinance and the Municipal Land Use Act in consideration to come up with, let's say, the most feasible, aesthetically pleasing, safe, and, let's say, consistent with the neighborhood type of architectural plans?
We did, and we looked at the alternative of building a new house here, fully raising it and having kind of a taller, more vertical structure. And we felt that this was more appropriate in the neighborhood. The volume has been there for 70 years. The neighbors are used to it. It has the nice wraparound deck, which you couldn't really have and conform with the setbacks just because of the width of the lot. So I think there's a lot of benefits to what's there and what we're trying to preserve, rather than kind of having a more vertical structure, you know, where you have a similar volume, but more verticality. I feel like this is a little bit more in keeping with kind of some of the original houses in Ventnor, where it's not kind of, it's not 2.5 stories above parking, 4 stories total. We're kind of doing basically ground floor, second floor, and then a third level, second level, habitable, that's built within the roof to try to reduce that overall height and volume and preserve light, air, and open space.
How do you characterize the style of the building? Is it more traditional to similar of the housing inventor that exists now, or is it a brand new style?
We try to be sensitive to the style inventor. I would call it a more transitional colonial. So we're using colonial clapboard siding, brick foundation, and material, but it's a little bit cleaner based on the aesthetic preferences of the owners. But we did kind of have some of the kind of craftsman elements that some of the originally built houses here have, like rafter tails that are exposed. We were fortunate enough to work on a house on Derby Avenue that has like the big fly rafters, the old dance club. We kind of incorporated some of those elements. And making sure that we have the pitched roof that you would have here just for longevity and making, you know, flat roofs don't last much at the shore. So we're sensitive to the materials in the area.
In your governor's strip, are you going to discuss that with us?
Sure. So there's a governor strip existing, and we're maintaining a governor strip, or we will be replacing curbing and sidewalk, and that will be planted area. per the ordinance unless the board does not see that. And, you know, we are open to any landscaping options. We are planning on landscaping more because there is more open space around the perimeter of the building.
Could you check with Roger as far as the species of trees that you're planting that would be better acceptable?
I think the board's looking for four street trees. Are you willing?
Yes.
In the governorship?
Yes.
Two on each side?
Yes, yeah, that's not a problem at all.
But as far as the species go, Roger,
we'll talk about it.
You have a communication with that in the species, because we don't want uplift of sidewalk, we want survivability with saltwater, and so on. And what about irrigation? Can that be irrigated?
Yes, yes. And we do have a note for irrigation.
Okay.
Including on the plans.
It's so noted.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, any questions?
Just one quick question. Did I hear you say that the rear setback is, what are the plans there? Is it concrete now, and it is going to be, and that hardscaping is going to be removed?
Yes, on the north side of the property, it is all hardscape. This is a survey here of existing.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I just wanted to clarify.
We are removing that landing, stairs, and hardscape, yes.
So that'll be?
That's that additional lot coverage that we're capturing.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Just want to go over the variances real quick?
Yes, please.
All right, just based on my report, schedule R, R4 single family zoning district, we're on page 2. I do want to point out that the lot area is compliant, 2,312 square feet is required, 2,508 square feet is provided. And they meet the minimum lot width, 37 feet is required, they meet it at 38 feet. Same thing with lot depth, 62 and a half feet is required, and they exceed that with 66 feet. So the variances being sought are principal setback to the Lafayette Avenue side, or front, 12 feet is required, 4.9 feet exists, 4.9 feet is proposed. Again, they can't move this house to make it comply, because then you'll get another variance non-conforming issue somewhere else. Same thing with for the second floor deck, which doesn't exist today. You need a 7-foot setback, which is the ordinance allows a 5-foot encroachment. They're at 4.9 feet. That's a new variance. A principal setback on Ventnor Avenue, 12 feet is required. They're at 11.9 feet, which in essence is 12 feet. And 11.9 feet is proposed, so it's an existing non-conforming. Again, if you're talking an inch and a quarter. That's a variance. And the porch on the front, it's being expanded, so it's 4.9 feet exists, and 4.9 feet is proposed. The side yard setback, and again, it's a corner lot, so they have two front yards, one side, one rear. 4 feet is required, and 3.8 feet exists. And in my regard, in my opinion, that's almost 4 feet. Depends on how you measure it. Exists non-conforming, so it is a variance, and as Mr. Halliday pointed out, you're swapping the lot coverage for building coverage. Technically, we're looking at changing the building coverage to not include roofs, because it's the deck and the roof, but it's the same either way, however you want to look at it. And again, that covers all the variances. Mr. Halliday has put on the record that they will comply with the street trees in the front yard, landscaping requirements in the grass governorship, and just ensure that the grading introduces positive runoff from the back to the front. And again, this meets the C1 and C2 criteria in regard to hardship, in that it is a corner lot, so you're subject to two front yard setbacks, which kind of pushes the building envelope to that back to the one corner. And I think the existing structure, I think they did a wonderful job making that looks the way it looks. I actually like the steep roof pitch. I think it really adds character to that house in that neighborhood. That's all I have to say.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Okay. Yes, sir.
Could you turn the volume up a little bit?
Yeah, we'll see if we can. We'll also address the mic a little bit better, too, so we get more volume. Let us know. We'll address that, and let us know if you can hear.
Okay.
I'll check with you.
Another thing is, why can't we see the drawings that you're looking at?
He's presenting to the board.
You can.
What?
He's presenting.
We put them over in the corner so the public can see.
If you want to speak, you can come up, you can be sworn in, and you can ask to see whatever you want to see.
Okay, so you're going to keep the works located?
We can move them back. We can move them back.
Sir. Sir, the board is being asked to see the drawings also, and they can't see the drawings well over there or here. So that's why they're being proposed. But if anybody wishes to see the drawings or any exhibit, they can ask for it, and they'll be turned, and they will be permitted to see it and look at it. Just ask. Okay, the public portion of this application is now closed. Mr. Swift,
yes.
Your comments, please.
A few brief closing comments.
With Roger's report, you can grow with that report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Comments, please.
Number one, thank you for hearing it. Thank you for your time and consideration. We try to make this, as Lorraine pointed out, this is more of a formal structure. We're going from beach house, surfboards, boogie boards, towels, kind of informal, to making this their formal permanent residency. We want to raise and renovate. We want to make it FEMA compliant. We've been very conscientious in terms of, as Mr. McLaren pointed out, good architectural design, taking the neighbors into consideration, given the fact that it's a corner lot, three new parking spaces, and we do have one parking space there, but technically it's not a compliant parking space. Now we're going to get three. New architectural design. I'm sure the surfboards and the boogie boards will be there, but now we have some place to store them. So with all due respect, if the board could act upon this favorably, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you again for your time, your consideration. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Board members, any final questions? If not, Leo, please frame a motion in the affirmative for the board to vote on. Please.
Okay, it's a C variance application. I'll summarize them and restate the conditions, and then we'll need a motion in a second. It's a corner lot, so there's two front yards. So there's a front yard setback along Lafayette. 4.9 feet proposed, which is the existing condition, 12 required. The front yard setback along Lafayette to the second floor deck of 4.9 feet, 7 feet required. The front yard setback to the building along Ventnor Avenue of 11.9 feet, which is the existing condition, and 12 is the requirement. And then for the second floor deck along Ventnor Avenue, again, 4.9 feet where 7 feet is required. And there's a side yard setback to the dwelling, 3.8 feet, which is the existing condition, but 4 feet is required. And then building coverage, 50% is permitted, and they're going to be at 55%. In terms of conditions, they'll put the two governor strips are there, but they're going to maintain those with 4 street trees, two along each frontage. They'll verify with Roger as to the species. Property will be graded towards the front, from back to front. Any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report must otherwise address, and subject to any outside approvals that may be required. The applicant will comply with any other representations it made during the course of the hearing.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Mayor Kribel.
I support this application. I think the primary variances are existing non-conforming. And when you're dealing with a 70-year-old property here that has lost its functional use in a lot of ways. If you look at this floor plan of the existing, it's broken up in so many ways. There's bathrooms and offices shoehorned into this plan. This plan, not only does it give light and air to this neighborhood, it gives usability to the structure itself. It adds parking, it reduces lot coverage, and it brings in what I think is a very successful aesthetic while maintaining some of the cottage feel with new materials that I think other builders should use. The James Hardy, the standing seam, these are all very durable properties. The brick foundation, these are all keynotes to our shore homes in this area that are going to be, I think, as our city grows and becomes more flood compliant and has to raise to keep our residents and our investments out of harm's way, these are the kinds of renovations I think we should see, and I think it's a successful one, so I support the application.
Thank you.
Joanne, is that you?
I also support the application. I think it's going to look great when it's done. I think it's going to be an improvement to the neighborhood. Everything you're doing looks great. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jay Cook?
I vote yes for this application. I think it's well done, first of all. It attempts to integrate into the community with its design. Rather than be a departure, it's a transitional design. And so it takes the best of the new and the best of the old, puts it together, and it belongs more in this, in our community. So we're getting a balance of housing in here. It also serves to do remove the obsolete housing and replace it with an upgraded structure. And they've gone to some great lengths to do piling, self-supporting slabs, which you don't see in every building. And of course it helps our CRS rating. We're reducing insurance rates for all of the residents in the community. But we have a net gain of two parking places. We have a net gain of some more open space in here as well. So in regard to the master plan, the city is benefiting. We're getting a little more greenscape out of it. Our landscaping is increasing. We're getting governor strips, which are well-maintained, irrigated properly, with trees that are a better species than perhaps it was in the past. So the end result is the community is advancing and the plan is advancing. So with that, I congratulate you on a very good piece of architecture and a good piece of design.
Lorraine Salata?
I'm going to favor this application. I think it's definitely a good upgrade for the local neighborhood. The fact that they're actually giving more parking than they're required to give is pretty impressive. We don't see that too often, but I think it's a good plan, a nice addition to the neighborhood, and it's FEMA compliant. So, yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. A lot of times, corner lots are a challenge for an architect and planning. We did a wonderful job with it and didn't increase any of the coverages. Vertical raise is within line and didn't ask for anything in addition to what existed. Parking is a real plus, and having a FEMA compliant structure. This location adds to the city's rate holes and FEMA compliance. Love this look, design, and the material that you're using, and working with the city of this, and I'm in favor.
Thank you.
Peter Taco?
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I believe that the variances are warranted. They're really just continuation of the existing non-conformities. I have to echo the mayor's sentiments about, you know, the fact that you've been able to keep the feel of the house, but also bring it into today. Right. And more times than not, they just get torn down and they become big boxes, guilty sometimes. But I really do like the design.
Thank you.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. You know, the variances are driven by the fact that we're raising a current house that has existing nonconformities and is on two front streets. So I don't think anything is being asked that is a material ask. I appreciate the improved parking, the improved coverage. I think it's a really thoughtful design and will be a great asset. So thank you.
Thank you.
Greer Gaskell?
I vote yes also.
a beautiful thought-out plan. The house is complete, really beautiful in that corner. It reminds me of something you would see in Cape Cod on the beach. And it's going to be really nice. Good luck. Thank you.
Wendy Bartlett?
I'm also in favor of the application. I appreciate that the design, that you kept the character of the house, the neighborhood. You know, so often we see when they raise a house and they want a height variance, and you kept the height conforming under where it needs to be. With a FEMA compliant house, you're adding green space, the street trees, and I think it's a great project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim, Paula, thank you for the good application. I'm glad you're standing so everybody can see you. You're newer members of the community, but welcome.
Thank you.
And you've given a great presentation, and you're now stakeholders in the community, and we love you for it. So welcome, and have good years in your home.
Thank you for your time and attention and consideration, and have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do the same.
The next application is that of 714 North Harvard Avenue.
Ready? Everybody ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Good evening. Brian Callahan on behalf of Michael and Jennifer DiNardo, property 714 North Harvard Avenue. Start, have everybody sworn in first?
Yes, please.
All right. Mr. Darden, come on up. Sit your.
We can just go down the line from the applicant. That letter, it doesn't matter. Just everyone state their name and address and or business address. I'll swear the three in.
Michael DiNardo, 714 North Harvard Avenue.
Peter Rice,
38. Turn it off. John, 400 North Dover Avenue, Lincoln City.
Okay.
Peter, when you speak, you got to be closer and keep the volume up, please. All right, for the record,
just got to swear.
Okay, swear.
Please, if you can each please raise your right hand, you swear and affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you.
For the record, Mr. Barnhart is an engineer and a planner.
That's correct.
And Mr. Weiss is an architect, licensed in New Jersey. For the record, they appeared many times, their credentials are acceptable. Now, is this the Kantrowitz property? Okay, never mind. Just go ahead.
This is an application coming before you to demolish the existing single-family home and construct a new single-family home. Board's probably done 20 of these over the last 10 years all along Harvard Avenue. So don't get scared when you read Roger's report needing 10 different variances, because you have 4 variances for decks, you got heights, you got the setbacks because we have the bulkheads, so you have lot area, lot depth. If you were complying with everything, you'd be building a bowling alley across the property. I have John Barnhart here first. He can walk you through the existing property, the variance relief. Mr. Weiss will then be able to describe the property materials and the things we're doing and the existing setbacks. If you took a look at the existing house, for instance, you'll see like the rear decks touch the other person's property. So even though we need rear deck variances, we're pulling them in 4 feet. So I'll have Mr. Barnhart walk you through the variances, walk you through the site plan. John? Want to go ahead and take it through the initial site plan?
Sure. So the subject property, as Mr. Callahan pointed out, is known as Block 317. It's about 10.03. It sits right on the bay front of Parker Avenue, and it is right at the street end. If you look at the tax map instead on their plan, it's right at the street end of the right-of-way line of Parker Avenue, and it would be extended to the bay. The site is very similar to many of the Parker Avenue properties that we've been for you over the years, and I've done a whole bunch of them. But the situation on Long Parker Avenue, as I'm sure most of you recall, is that you have a zoning standard at this location that requires 80-foot lots in depth. And then the setback probably follows suit with the idea that lot would be 80 feet depth. But the position of the bulkhead, which is relatively parallel to Parker Avenue, is nowhere near that 80 feet. So every lot is a little bit different. But on this specific property, once the bulkhead is reconstructed, it'll still only be about slightly less than 64 feet from the current property. So while an 80-foot lot is required, and again, as I mentioned, the setbacks are based on the fact that you would have an 80-foot lot, we're only dealing with roughly 64 feet of overall lot depth. So what that has created is it created a scenario with obviously these are very, very desirable properties. It's created a scenario that we would need are all hardship type variances that we're requesting this evening. And had been the case for all of the other applications, the majority of the other applications that we brought before you on Harvard Avenue. So what we've done is helped, and Peter has done a number of as well, what we've done is helped guide our client in this case to what the pattern of the neighborhood has been. That, because that's the appropriate, based on what's going on Harvard Avenue over the last 20 years, the appropriate bulkhead area standards are what the development pattern has been with the newer construction homes or the renovated ones. And that's how Peter has designed, Mr. West has designed this property. So you see, as a for example, the required front yard setback is 20 feet. So we're proposing 15 feet to the building. Nearly every one of the construction buildings are at 15 feet. What then takes place is the majority of the variances that are pointed out in Mr. Clark's report really deal with the decks in the rear yard. Because when, in order to have a meaningful depth of house, I think it would ask for a 15-foot front yard because it was the least from the requirement. Your rear yard becomes relatively shallow for a baseline lot. So you would have and the requirement in order to go from the front line was bulkhead for decks, the decks are required to have setbacks, it can't be pools required to have setbacks, and all of a sudden you have a litany of variances as per your entire report. But we believe that this is an application that clearly can be justified under the hardship condition. Albeit it's not a small lot with requirement to width, but its depth does create challenges, and this board has seen that over the years with other applications. We believe that all variances that we're asking for are a function of the shallowness of this lot, which goes to the heart of a C1 or hardship type variance. But we also believe that the variances that we're asking for can be justified under the C2 criteria, and that is where the benefits of the mediation and the detriments. In this case, the benefits are we are demolishing a non-flood compliant home, a home that is dated and warrants a brand new, absolutely beautiful home on the bayfront, which is what the development pattern of Parker Avenue is. We also believe that the beautification of this site will absolutely enhance the neighborhood and benefit the neighbors not only on either side of us, but really the entirety of the Harvard Avenue bayfront. The real detail of this application, in my opinion, as to whether although we have variances for the decks and we have variances for front yard setbacks, Peter was able to design a house that meets the needs of our client, and we 100% comply with building coverage. Which, generally speaking, when you have a lot that's undersized and in zone, you're probably going to be asking for building coverage variance, which we are not in this case. And we also are 100% compliant with your impervious coverage and landscape requirements, which, again, when you have a lot that's too small, those variances tend to trigger themselves because you're trying to accomplish square footage of buildings such that are appropriate or suiting the needs of the client. So While we have all these variances, and we can talk about each one specifically as necessary, but while we have all these variances, we believe that when you look at the structure and look at the coverages, this is an appropriately sized development for this specific piece of property. We believe that it's completely compliant and compatible with the neighborhood and will only be an asset to this portion of the city then.
Parking wise, we're meeting it.
Yeah, we are proposing a two-car lot driveway, which will, in addition to the garage area, which will have a total of 4.5.
Clearly aesthetic enhancements in the neighborhood, taking down an older non-flood compliant, putting in a new flood compliant.
That is correct.
All mechanicals are meeting criteria.
All mechanical units will meet the setback requirements as well as the elevation requirements.
And state of New Jersey, we have to deal with, God forbid, this DEP, new bulkhead decking.
Yes, those permits are all being worked through as we speak.
From a negative criteria, you see any substantial detriment to the character of the neighborhood by granting these variances?
No, I think the granting of these variances actually helps to preserve the character of the neighborhood because what we are requesting on behalf of our client is exactly what has taken place from essentially from one end of Harvard Avenue to the other on Baker.
Any substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance?
No, there's not. If you see, in my opinion, if you see some of the comments in Mr. McClain's report, we understand that there are some master plan discussions coming forward that may eventually lead to some of the relief that we're requesting this evening not actually being required to be relieved in future applications. So I don't know all the particulars of that. Maybe it's required to touch on that if appropriate, but we do not see a substantial detriment to the zone plan given the approvals that have been granted along this corridor.
Does the board need me to go through item by item, variance by variance, or does the board have any specific questions of Mr. Barnhart dealing with any particular variances that are listed in Mr. McCarran's report? Hearing none, how about if I jump to Mr. Weiss and walk you through a little bit of the floor plan, materials that he's using, that type of thing. And Peter, Lorraine is sitting right there. She can't hear you, so please.
I'll correct that. Nobody can hear me, Brian. Don't single me out. Sorry, Pete, not personal.
You translate, I'll do it.
Okay.
All right, close and loud.
So the site is currently occupied by a three-story house that has a flat roof. The house was built in the early 80s, so it's 40 some odd years old. It's not really in good shape, maybe partly because of the flat roof, but structurally it's starting to have some issues too, so it's kind of getting near the end of its life. So what we propose to do is demolish the house and build a new house with three stories of living space above a ground floor. The ground floor will be just storage and parking. The first floor will have all the living space with the deck between the house and the bulkhead, which will have a pool at the deck level and a pergola, which is a prefab metal structure that sit on top of the deck. The second floor is 5 bedrooms, 4 baths, third floor is a master suite. The exterior, we've stone around the base, around the foundation with some board and batten siding at the ground level. The upper floors will be cedar siding. The main roof will be asphalt shingles, and the first floor level is a standing seam metal roof that will wrap around the building. And that's kind of the materials for the building. The pergola in the rear, like I said, it's a prefab structure. It's an open frame. So typically it's the columns are, 7 or 8 inches wide. The top might be a foot high or so, but it's an open structure that you can see through. So it's not like a, there's no sides or anything to it. It's just there to provide. They typically have like a louver kind of system on the top that you can adjust so you get shade. The point of it is to be able to have shade so you can put a table out there and eat.
Some of the existing decking is there, which is included in the new design.
Existing decking.
Rear decking that is touching the neighbor's decks on the outside, you're going to pull that into the, you know, for variance.
Currently, the deck, yeah, the rear deck goes from property line to property line on the sides.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Weiss, I just got to open up to the board.
Peter, the house, what is, 67 feet wide?
67 feet wide.
Is there, any question, you have in the setbacks, you have air conditioning, you have pool furniture, then you have a shower and stairs, which are encroaching into the setbacks, which are normally 8 feet. Is there any way to get some more area into setbacks, into the side yard setback?
So the building conforms in the side yard. Now, the deck, as you mentioned, the condensing units and pool equipment, that stuff's permitted to be 4 feet into the setback on the right side. So we took that, basically we're going to extend the deck in line with that, so there's no real view obstruction, if you will, looking down between the houses. On the left side, it's basically a stairway going up. I mean, yeah, there's a shower. The shower could move, I guess.
I was just curious, is there any way, because a lot of the houses have 8 feet, and if you, is there any way to get a little more space between the houses?
I would argue, most of the houses there, the deck runs side to side. I think.
Pardon?
I think most of the houses along there, the decks run side to side. I don't know that there's too many with an 8-foot opening clear front to back.
Well, regardless, my question is, can you get any more space? Is there a possibility of getting any more space between the houses?
We'd have to wind up redesigning the house, Mr. Cook, to get, pick up an extra 3 or 4 feet.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Weiss?
I got a question. Will there be a residential fire suppression system?
Yes.
We didn't plan on it, no. Yeah, I know.
Residential fire suppression system? Yes.
Is it required?
Where at the moment?
Required, absolutely.
It is required, and because of where you're located, God forbid if there's a fire, we can only fight the fire pretty much from the front, because you see the size of the pipe, and the rear is the bay.
So the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there variances for the rear decks?
Yes, there. John, question is, are there variances for the rear decks? Yes.
Yeah, the answer to that, Mr. Cook, is yes, there are, because technically we're supposed to be set back from the bulkhead, but again, nearly every deck on Harvard Avenue extended out to the edge, to the face of the bulkhead.
Right.
And it's not permitted to go beyond that unless it's pre-existing. So we're basically following the pattern of all the other decks along Harvard Avenue.
Are you even with the bulkhead now, or the decks will be even with the bulkhead?
There is an existing portion of deck that is legally existing that will remain as beyond the bulkhead, but the upper level decks will all be obviously clear of the bulkhead as required.
So there's one deck that will protrude based on the pre-existing. How much will it protrude?
Approximately 10 feet or so.
Into the, 10 feet over the water.
No.
It'll be 8 feet with the new bulkhead.
Yes, just to answer your question, when you go there, yes, there's an existing deck, it's about 10 feet beyond the bulkhead.
So what's on your plan, what is marked the lower deck is beyond, is over the water. Is that, am I correct in that?
Depending on the tide, yes. It's
beyond the high water line.
That is correct.
And we're asking the DEP to maintain that. The question is whether they will let us or not, but it's a request, but it's pre-existing.
And are you able to maintain the new bulkhead height? With that deck, is it where it is?
I would have to, it's in ordinance, yeah.
Okay.
Ordinance requirement, they need to meet, we have to meet that.
All right.
So when the bulkhead comes in, we have to review it and approve it based on the required elevations.
And part of the application that the DEP, we're asking to do some dredging for maintenance purposes.
Now, that bulkhead won't affect the height of the deck, will it?
Because if anybody's been out on Harvard Avenue right now, low tide, you're in mud.
Yeah, no, the low wood deck is over top of the, beyond the high water line.
So it would, when it gets reconstructed, it would be reconstructed at the elevation of the bulkhead, is that what you're asking?
So the deck is going to increase in height, or is it going to stay the same height?
The deck over the bulkhead, or beyond the bulkhead?
Yes.
I believe it's going to walk a little bit.
Wait.
One second. Actually, okay, I misspoke. The plan is to keep it out of the existing elevation.
Okay.
Peter has steps, it's showing steps to go down to it.
Right. Okay.
The sand allows for a nicer transition to the piers, because if you get those steps too high, then you get rid of those.
I'm always concerned about the one deck being too high for overlooking the neighbors.
So they're down and not up.
Correct. Yeah.
Board members, any questions? At this time, then, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none or seeing none, the public portion is now closed.
Couple comments, real quick.
Okay.
So, in my report, I indicate that it is close to a coastal A zone, and so you have to delineate that when you come in for permits. So it looks like you can push it back a little bit, and it looks like you're just missing the coastal way zone, but you are in a higher elevation.
It was plotted at one point. It's a couple of feet inside the bulkhead.
Okay. So the bulkhead will, and the deck will be independent of the building?
Correct.
All right. And also the roof runoff will be redirected into the waterway through the bulkhead. Okay. What that does, plan board members, that it reduces the taxing of the stormwater system, so it reduces the, increases the capacity from the street, reduces it from the property. So again, as Mr. Barnhart indicated, he and I spoke earlier today, that on this side of Harvard Avenue on the bayfront, this is not unusual for these types of variances being requested. As you can see, the lot depth was actually increasing because of the 2 feet of the bulkhead replacement. And once this new bulkhead is in, they can't go further out 20 years from now. You only got two bulkheads. So with that increase of the lot depth, they're actually increasing the lot area a little bit. So that's why those numbers are a little different on the report and on their plans. And also the rear yard deck, the setback again is a 0 foot setback. That's not unusual to go to the bulkhead. On the waterfront, it's not unusual to have a third floor and second floor deck higher than the first floor deck. Again, that's something in the ordinance after the master plan that we want to take a longer look at to reduce the need of a variance to allow those. And the pool setback, again, it's 6 foot to the bulkhead. We're gonna look at that also, maybe similar to other towns that have waterfront properties, beachfront properties where the bulkhead's allowed to go where the pool's allowed to go up to the bulkhead. The pergola, again, it's an accessory structure on top of the deck, which is elevated. It is a variance, but as Mr. Weiss indicated, it's open on all four sides, so it's not going to be much of an obstruction at all, and it'll be a louvered roof. Not increasing the lot coverage at all because it allows water to penetrate, and the deck boards allow water to penetrate the deck boards. So other than that, no waivers have been requested, and I really have no further comment. And again, just the A-zone clarification, that's something that the floodplain manager will likely ask also, so I'm just trying to get ahead of that.
And what about the number of slips permitted in the plan, approved for the plan? It's not on the plan?
That'll be, DEP will probably comment on that when they apply for their permits. Obviously, if it's five or more, it becomes a marina. I don't think there's any, there's enough for five slips.
It will be. Unless we already got back from the DEP, you know, dredging, problems with that, the height of the bulkhead, you know, everything is...
Did they give you a slip count? I mean, you already have slips there, but...
John, slip count? What do we have, two slips? We're showing two slips.
Two slips, okay.
Correct.
Well, you might want to sometimes note it on the plan because it's just, that way the city knows too what's going.
That's fine. Just closing once again, this application, tear down an old house, 40 years old, brand new single family home, Harvard Avenue, maintaining the up and down of Harvard Avenue now. I mean, down further, we just did the big log cabin house, which is finishing up. We have some new houses at the other end of Harvard Avenue. So this is just going to be another infill project doing that. Once again, no substantial detriment to the character of the neighborhood. It's blending in. Front yards are lining up. Rear yards are lining up. Bulkheads are lining up. So we think it's going to be a wonderful addition to Harvard Avenue. And once again, no neighbors out here moaning or groaning. I will say, well, I had one call from Mr. Kligerman down the street, and his only concern was, are you asking the state of New Jersey to do some dredging? So he took a picture for me because he was at low tide, and you know, down the street, everybody's sitting in mud. You know, so if you low tide, you can't put your boat in. Your boat lifts are sitting in the mud right now at low tide. So that was his only concern. He says, good luck with the state. So that was the only call that I had. Other than that, we think once again, it's a wonderful project. Go forward and be an asset to Harvard Avenue. Thank you.
That's it. You can grow with the Rogers.
Yes, we've gone over Mr. McLaren's report and have no objections to it.
And what about the Governor's Strip and street trees?
Governor's Street and street trees are going in, correct? Yes, we're putting Governor.
Yeah.
Governor's Strip and street trees are going in, and we'll coordinate with Mr. McLaren for, you know, the type of variety.
And will that be irrigated?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I believe that's it. Board members, any further questions? At this time, Brian, are you complete?
We're done.
Leo, could you please frame a motion, please, in the affirmative, and all are done?
Yeah, sure. It's a C variance application based on the C1 hardship and the flexible C2 standard, both one or the other, but they put on testimony for both. I'll summarize the variances and the conditions, and then we'll need a roll call vote and a motion, second, a roll call vote. The lot depth at the new bulkhead, 63.83 feet, or 80 feet is the requirement. The front yard setback to the house is 15.1 feet, or 20 feet is the requirement. Front yard setback to the porch is 10.1 feet. 10.11 feet. I need readers soon, sorry. 10.11 feet where 15 feet is required. The rear yard setback to the